I think we all know what the word revive
means.
There are several synonyms for it that we use quite regularly. Renew, revitalize, rekindle, restore. I hope you noticed that in those three verses that Nick read to us a few minutes ago at the beginning, all coming from Psalm 119, they all specifically mention the psalmist's prayer to God that he would revive him. It might surprise you to learn that the word revive, at least in the New American Standard Translation, occurs 9 times there in Psalm 119. In the King James Version, it's interesting that it is rendered quicken. Now, we understand the word quicken, especially in the biblical sense, to mean to bring something back to life. And certainly the title for that song we just sang and all of the text of those verses was based very solidly on Scripture. And you don't need me to remind you yet again that next Sunday begins our gospel meeting with Brother Paul Sain. Brother Paul told me this week that his theme for all of the lessons of the meeting are going to be built around the word unique. He'll be talking to us about the uniqueness of the church, of our relationship with God, and the unique goal that each of us must have for our lives. You know, gospel meetings are great tools for revival. That's probably why we started out calling them revival meetings. I'm not so sure it was a good idea to stop calling them that, because I don't know of any more descriptive terminology that would be better than to call it a revival meeting. We all need to be revived from time to time. It's not as though we're all dead sometimes, but we can always benefit from a little charge to our batteries, so to speak. To put it a little more crudely and bluntly, we all need a sharp jab every now and then to get us up and get us moving. I can recall attending gospel meetings when I was growing up, and you know, you'd have to bring chairs out of the classrooms and put them in the aisles so that the crowds could be accommodated that would come to hear the preaching, and it's a fact that those days are gone pretty much for the most part. And it's also clear that a lot of people, a lot of God's people, have allowed other things to become a higher priority than attending the services and supporting a gospel meeting in the local congregation. You might say that revival and gospel meetings have kind of been crowded out by a lot of other things that have been allowed to become more and more important. As God's people, we should never pass up an opportunity for revival. And I believe our gospel meeting will be a golden opportunity for such. And in fact, this morning I want to share with you several things that are going to take place in our meeting that will make it a wonderful opportunity for our own revival here at this place. I want to just give you a list of things that are going to take place, and look at this list and see how these are things that can only benefit us. For example, number one, in our gospel meeting beginning next Sunday morning, the Scriptures will be examined. It's always good to read the scriptures, though it sometimes seems that a lot of people put less and less emphasis on the importance of God's word. In 1 Timothy 4:13, Paul told Timothy, "Until I come, give attention to the public reading of scripture, to exhortation and to teaching." When you consider God's word and the importance that it claims for us, it's no wonder that the psalmist began that great long book with these words. "How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates both day and night." And surely all right-thinking folks would have to agree that spiritual weakness, with its lack of knowledge and understanding of God's word, is causing tremendous problems in the body of Christ. A whole host of difficulties exist among God's people, and you can trace the cause of those difficulties to the fact that folks just simply don't know or aren't honoring what God's word says that we should be doing. Perhaps we've failed to take the matter of spiritual growth as seriously as God takes it. Peter says in 2 Peter 3:18, "But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ," and our gospel meeting will give us a golden opportunity to do just that. And to a certain extent, the amount of support that we give to the services of our gospel meeting is a measure of how important we consider the preaching and teaching of God's word to be. Number two, let me suggest to you that in our gospel meeting next week, the Son of God will be exalted. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, Paul writes, "And when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or wisdom, but I came proclaiming to you the testimony of God." He goes on and he says, "For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." It seems that more and more today in what we refer to loosely as the religious world, more and more efforts are directed toward the exalting and the glorifying of certain people and various men. Some folks have even built entire doctrines and complete religious systems around a particular individual's apparent desire for recognition and honor. We need the attitude that Paul expressed in Philippians 1, verse 20, where he said, "According to my earnest expectation and hope, that I will not be put to shame in anything, but that with all boldness Christ will, even now, as always, be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death." Paul says, there's something that is of the highest priority to me. He says that's the exaltation of Christ in whatever I do. There are a great number of good causes that we might become involved in and give our support to, but nothing could be any more honorable. Nothing could be as honorable as exalting Jesus Christ as Savior to a lost and dying world. On Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, that's exactly what Peter did as he spoke to those folks who had crucified Jesus. In Acts chapter 8, verse 5, it says that Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And Jesus commanded all of us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The efforts of our gospel meeting will be in response to the Lord's command to do that. Number three, in our gospel meeting next week, Satan will be encountered and sin will be exposed. Sin is the blight of this world. We look around us and we recognize that to be very true of our nation and of many of the people that we see on a daily basis. And from Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2, we learn that sin is what separates men from God. And in Romans 6, 23, Paul tells us that it's sin which brings about man's condemnation. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And in Ephesians 5, verse 11, Paul says, do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but rather even expose them. Let's be frank about it. Satan is going to be doing everything that he possibly can to make our meeting a failure. He will be pleased if he can somehow cause members of this church to feel like it's unimportant to support the efforts of our meeting, not to attend, not to participate. Nothing would make him any more delighted. In light of this, we need to be doing what James chapter 4, verse 7 commands us to do. When James said, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. There is no spiritual hope for our future, for the future of our church, if we never get around to resisting the devil's efforts. If we allow him to get away with convincing us to misalign our priorities and give unimportant things more urgency than the really important things, well, no doubt there will be a great number of things that will attempt to hinder some of us from attending the services of our gospel meeting. Let's make sure that nobody gets the impression from us that our gospel meeting is not important. Number four, next week in our gospel meeting, saints will be edified. Every Christian needs to be edified and built up. To the elders of the church at Ephesus in Acts chapter 20, verse 32, Paul said, and now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Assembling ourselves together as we've done this morning and as we will be doing next week is a wonderful way for us to exhort and encourage one another. That's what Hebrews 10 verses 24 and 25 tell us. Let's consider how to stimulate one another to love and good works, not forsaking our own assembling together as the habit of some is, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. What a wonderful opportunity it will be to encourage each other. And if you will but honestly reflect back upon times in the past when we attended the services of gospel meetings, and when a large number of our congregation was present, and when visitors came at our invitation, you will honestly recall how encouraging that situation was. We want to do that again next week. We want to create just such an environment with our presence and with people that we have invited to come and be with us and be tools of encouragement to one another. Number five, I can assure you that next week in the services of our gospel meeting, salvation will be explained. Because of sin, man needs salvation. In fact, this is mankind's greatest need, the need to be saved from sin. But not only does man need it, God wants man to have it. 1 Timothy 2 verse 4 says that God desires all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. By the grace of God, salvation has been made available for all people, no matter who they are, but the devil is doing a really good job of confusing the minds of people with regard to the plan of salvation. Jesus gives the warning in Matthew 7 verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. It is only by obeying the pure gospel of Jesus Christ that one can be saved. And next week, just like today, there will not be any effort to teach man-made doctrines or men's opinions or ideas about what a person needs to do in order to be saved. It'll be book, chapter, and verse. It'll be the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because there is salvation in none other. In our gospel meeting, the gospel plan of salvation will be preached and explained in its purity and simplicity. What a wonderful way to get a message to someone that perhaps we've wanted to talk to about salvation. Number six. Sinners will be exhorted. When we read passages like 2 Corinthians 5, verse 11, we readily see that it is very much in order. In fact, it's very needful for you and me to exhort sinners to come to salvation. That verse says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. In Acts 2, verse 40, Peter said, the text says that with many other words, Peter testified and exhorted them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked and untoward generation. And we perhaps have had difficulty in being able to talk about certain things with certain people, exhorting them to do what's right. Maybe we've been waiting for a door to open, an opportunity. There could never be a better opportunity than next week in our gospel meeting. That's not an exhaustive list. But those are some of the good things that we'll see in our gospel meeting. They're some of the things that we've seen in the past in gospel meetings. Time-honored and proven things that help us to draw closer to one another and closer to God. That's the end goal of what we're going to try to do next week. To draw ourselves closer to one another as a congregation of God's people, as a family. To draw closer to one another. And in the process, to get us all closer to God. Our gospel meeting is of supreme importance. Let's place it up there at the top of our list of priorities, and all this week let's be praying for it. Let's be preparing for it. Next week, let's be present for every service as we participate. Now, if you're lost right now, please don't wait until next week to decide whether or not to do something about that. If you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, while there will be opportunities next week, if next week arrives, there is one opportunity that we're sure of right now, and that's this one, today. While it is today, the Scripture says, today is the day of salvation. If you need to come expressing your belief in Jesus as God's Son, your desire to repent and turn away from sin, your willingness to confess Jesus Christ as your Savior and Master, and to be baptized for the remission of your sins, now's the best time to do that. Don't wait. If you've already done that but have become unfaithful in your service to God, now is the best time to get that straightened out. Be restored to faithfulness. God stands ready to receive all who will come. If you need to respond to His invitation, we invite you to do so right now as we stand together and sing this song.